ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to the Fantasy Alarm MLB DFS Podcast with hosts John Impemba and James Grande.
What's going on, FN Nation? John Pember here with James Grande. This is a quick pitch MLB DFS podcast recording here on Wednesday for five-game main slate starting at 7:05. James, so we do have an early game, 6 o'clock, six games starting off in the afternoon, but both FanDuel and DraftKings are going with the 7:05 start, and we cover the main slate here. So if you're listening to this and you have any questions for the earlier slate, definitely get in Discord. We're in there to answer your questions. We'll help you guide you through any lineups that you guys have to help you obviously win the early slate. But all of our content for today is going to focus on this five-game main slate. And it's kind of an interesting five-gamer because we talk all the time, small slates mean shorter player pools. And sometimes that means very high concentration of ownership. We got Ohtani here against Oakland at 10K on a five-game slate. And we talk all the time, like, when do you decide to fade chalk? Do you play chalk? This is, again, a fade at your own risk on a small slate like this. Ohtani's going to be 60, 65, 70% rostered more than likely. If you're playing two lineups, stack Oakland or fade Ohtani, put Ohtani in the other one. In cash games, play Ohtani, right?
Yep.
Like because there's just going to be a lot of concentration there when it comes to his rostership on the slate. So he's at 10K. We have a returning Freddy Peralta coming off the 60-day against Pittsburgh. I don't really want to touch this on his return, but we know that what he can bring to the table. He faced Pittsburgh already in one of his first starts of the year, 6 shutouts, 7 strikeouts. We know he's a high strikeout guy, but he's only thrown 52 pitches in his most recent rehab start. So as we saw, unfortunately, from Jacob deGrom tonight, pulled after 59 pitches, even though he threw 67, and he had a pitch count range of 60 to 75 pitches. And the Mets pulled him at the very low end of that tonight. Hard to pay $9,700 for Peralta, even a great spot, just knowing that he's likely not going to get more than 60, 65 pitches there. After Ohtani, it's really kind of like a pick your poison, in my opinion, right? You got Julio Urias at $9,100. He's going up against San Francisco. Really good starts recently, including a 6-inning shutout against San Francisco. He tends to have trouble when it comes to going deep in games as well. I know recently, again, 2 games where he's pitched over 7 innings, but his pitch count almost never really gets above. He had a 99 pitch outing there recently against Colorado, but generally he sits in that 90 pitch range, and sometimes that means he doesn't get to 6 innings. So there's some risk there. You have Mikolas against Chicago. Blake Snell's at home against Colorado. Like, where are you outside of Ohtani? Where are you sort of picking your SP2 if you're playing on DraftKings or
just quick point on Ohtani? I'd go over on both ownership numbers you'd throw out there earlier. He was like last slate, and I know it's different because he was much cheaper and whatever. He was like 80% owned in big field tournaments, Sean, and there was like 12 games on that slate and 6 straight games with 10 plus strikeouts says it all. I'm with you. I'm not playing for Peralta. It's obviously a contrarian play, but he can get 6 strikeouts, kind of like we saw DeGrom in 5 innings on a Tuesday. But you don't need to do it. I think Urias does make a lot of sense. I wonder if the Giants would have JD Davis available now that they shipped off Darren Ruff, but Darren Ruff was one of their best hitters against lefties and they shipped him off. JD Davis has not been great this year if he does crack that San Francisco lineup. And San Francisco, Thayer Rochada on the IL, Jock Peterson on the IL, Evan Longoria on the IL. They traded away Kurt Casale, who was a righty bat. Brandon Crawford still out. They're depleted right now. So I do Julio Urias quite a bit. I think the price tag is very appealing. I don't hate Mikolas. He's looked pretty good against the Cubs. 17.5 fantasy points per game and they're in 2 matchups against them. The Cubs didn't make any deals. So they are, which is incredibly weird considering.
Yeah, they traded Robertson.
Yeah, well, in terms of their offense, because we saw that awkward hug. Now we could say it's awkward between Ian Happ and Wilson Contreras, and now both of them are still on the team.
They hugged again in the dugout after the deadline went by, so.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you saw that video, but once 6 o'clock hit, they re-embraced in the dugout.
No, I didn't. I guess that's the wholesome content you'd love to see. But outside of a start in Cincinnati, which we know is not the friendliest of ballparks, has been pretty good. 19 or more fantasy points in 3 or 4 starts. We know he keeps the ball down. And this game isn't being played in Wrigley. It's being played in St. Louis, where he's thrived this year. 2.3 ERA, 190 batting average against. So I like him. I like Blake Snell in tournaments. Blake Snell has looked really good. I think
his one bad start lately was against Colorado. It was in Colorado.
Yeah, it's in Coors. Like it happens. It literally happens to everybody. And the one bad start outside, or the four starts outside of that, 6 innings, 1 run, 7 strikeouts. 5 innings, no runs, 5 strikeouts. 6 innings, 11 strikeouts against San Francisco. Even against the Dodgers in LA, 5 innings, 1 earned, 12 strikeouts. So we know the strikeout potential is tremendous for Snell. And 3 of those 4 games have been wins, just to tally on. So I like Snell quite a bit. In terms of the rest of the position, I don't know, John. Like, it's a tough position to gauge. Like, is Ronzi Contreras actually starting? Because if he is, that could be appealing. He's been in AAA for the last month. Alex Cobb has been up and down, but he gets the Dodgers, who kind of lit him up 2 starts ago. You can go there because there's upside. Justin Steele, he's been like, I've probably faded Justin Steele too much, but I have a lot of respect
for the Cardinals. I brought him up during his most recent start. Yep. Obviously, he didn't pitch deep enough like we wanted him to. Four unearned runs, however, in that game. Maybe not necessarily entirely his fault, but he had six Ks in that, 3 2/3. Yeah, listen, I don't mind it. It's not their best spot, like you mentioned, St. Louis. In St. Louis, against guys that can hit lefties like Goldschmidt and Arenado. But I kind of go back to Kapilian, right? Dude, I talked about him,
yep.
And we were a little bit worried because of Chicago. And he went on and pitched another really good start. Last 9 starts for this guy, he's got a 3.4 ERA. He's still not striking out a bunch of guys. I mean, if he's not getting wins, that's going to keep him kind of lower in his point production. But now he's facing the A's, and we know the A's strike out a bunch. So, you know, that could give him a little bit of a bump there in strikeouts. And he's only given up more than 3 earned runs once in his last, like, 10 starts, right? And the majority of his starts, he's given up 1 or fewer runs in 5 of the last 6. So the dude is really, really pitching well. At $5,700, that feels like a freebie to me.
Yeah, for former first round pick, was a highly coveted prospect for the Yankees. So
he came back from injury too to start the year. So maybe it just took him a bit to get like his bearings going, and now he's sort of rounding back into form.
Yep, didn't make his first start till May 1st. Yeah, I think you could be correct, and as we've said a million times in the last couple months.
Yeah, pitch against the Angels.
Nothing like facing the Angels to get you on board.
They just traded away Brandon Marsh. Their lineup got even worse.
True. So, ain't that the truth? That's true.
Trout's out. They're throwing Joe Adell at you. Like, they're just, don't get hurt by Ohtani. Like, he's the only guy in that lineup. Like, Taylor Ward's not hitting anymore. Jared Walsh has never hit. Literally, just don't let Ohtani beat you. Right. And you should have zero problems. That's the pitching for me. I think it's the problem is like, he's the value starter, but he's facing the top starter. So you just punt. What you do is you play Ohtani, hope he strikes out 12, and Kapilian gets the win, right? That's like
in like 2-1, a 2-1 game, or like a 1-0 game.
DeGrom game. Goes out there, gives up 1-1. His dominates. So,
everyone should see that one coming tonight.
Oh my, unbelievable.
The Mets not scoring for Jacob DeGrom.
Cannot score for the guy at all. Not whatsoever. Catcher position. We talk about Elias Diaz a lot against lefties. Well, he's got another lefty here in Snell. I know we talked about Snell, obviously pitching really right now, but Diaz himself, 330 average, 981 OPS over the last 10, and a guy that is historically great against southpaws. He's sitting there right in the mid-tier. If you want to spend up for WD Smith, go for it, $550, $500. But other than that, like, where's a catcher that you're looking at? Is it the Milwaukee guys? Like, you got Yadi Molina back off the IL. He hasn't really played well this year, but $2,800. Like, where are you thinking for catcher?
I'm not. I'm closing my eyes. Joey Bart for a cheap home run, but even that's not very appealing. I guess you could play like one of the Pittsburgh catchers, like Heinemann probably starts, knowing there's no Freddy Peralta for too long, and you get to the Brewers bullpen no longer with Josh Hader. I don't know, like, it's a really crap position. I don't really know how else to say it, really. I don't necessarily have anything else that I can add. I guess, you know what? The San Diego guys, probably, John. Alfaro hitting 400 over his, or 340 over his last 10 games, 3,800, and Austin Nola, 33. Chad Kuhl's dust. Chad Kuhl has cooled off, pun completely intended there, since a pretty good start to the year. Lefties 365 OBA, righties 322, 740 OPS. So Nola and Alfaro for me, I'd be interested in both those Padres catchers.
Yep, I hear you. Where are we going next?
We're going to first base. And Paul Goldschmidt against a lefty is standing out like a sore thumb. Hit his 25th home run tonight. I don't know if you saw the broadcaster called it. The exact pitch he was getting a home run on. Said, how about a 25th home run right here? Followed up by a 25th home run. That was impressive. Maybe if he calls 26, we know it's going to happen. Maybe he sees the future. But Goldschmidt 63, you can play Rowdy for tournaments. Interested to see who's going to play for San Diego. They have Brandon Drury listed as a first baseman, John, $5,900. I know you want to pay that, but Josh Bell, also a Padre, also don't know if he's going to play, $4,800.
Well, I'm playing Bell over Drury, that's for sure.
Wait, you don't want to pay $5,900 for Brandon Drury?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't. Goldie at 63, I would pay, though.
Yeah.
Because of the lefty matchup there. Crone against Snell.
Sure.
I would consider... After that, though, man.
Seth Brown. Here's your Ohtani pivot. It's Seth Brown.
I don't want to go against Ohtani.
I'm just saying. Look at Seth Brown, though, dude. Just out here just hitting bombs, not getting traded for no reason.
It's true. You got a min-price Pujols.
Min-price Pujols against lefties, and that's where he's thrived all year.
Yep, that's where we're probably going to take a look. Anybody else for you? Rowdy, probably, 49.
Yep, Rowdy.
Even though that's like a wild price tag for Rowdy Torres.
Yeah, it's literally just because he hits home runs.
And it's a five game player pool as well. His usual like 3,800. They're like, well, there's not 15 other first baseman ahead of him today, so we got to jack the price up here a little bit. All right, go to second base. Where are you? Where do you looking to plant your flag?
Cronenworth homered in the first game of their doubleheader today. I think the Padres were excited about the Soto trade. They scored 13 runs in that game. Definitely going there. I'm interested in Brendan Rodgers. He hits lefties extremely well. He's rolling right now. 447 average over his last 10 games. He doesn't really hit for a lot of power. Just been consistent in the average department.
Yeah, Colton Wong's been hitting well.
Yep. He hit another home run tonight. I shouldn't say another because, you know, it's not like a big power guy, but he has been rolling. That's my point. Hit a home run tonight. So I think Colton Wong checks in as probably my guy at this here outside of Cronenworth.
Yeah, I'm probably in that same range as you are. Going a little bit deeper down, there's really not much that is jumping off the page without really like seeing the lineups, obviously, and knowing who's going to be in, who's going to be out. I will say we've talked up David Fletcher a little bit of late.
He homered tonight.
Did he? Okay. Yep. So even two for three the other day against Texas with two runs and two RBIs with a double. Now he's got, if he homered tonight, that means he's got a home run and two doubles over his last four games. So maybe David Fletcher at 2,500 if you're not a Caprillion guy.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. Don't hate that at all.
All right. Next position. Where are you going to third base?
Brandon Drury, 5,900. Nah. Arenado homered tonight. Definitely can go there against a lefty. Machado firmly in play against Chad Cole, even though he's been bad. But we know Machado's relatively good in the split against righties.
Yep.
Luis Urias been super good lately, too. I think those three guys stand out to me over 4K.
And then your boy Garrett Hampson?
And then, Garrett Hampson, if he's in the lineup, for sure. I don't think there's much else down here.
If JD Davis does find his way into the lineup, he's 2K. We talked about him earlier, but, you know. Lefties, he tends to hit well. So.
Yeah, for sure. It's such a weird trade.
It is.
That deal was so
two weird guys that hit lefties well, straight up, that play like the same position-ish. Shortstop, you got Trey Turner at the top against Cobb. You got Adames here against Contreras.
That is a crazy price,
$5,600. So really, Adames, what are we doing now? Thanks.
I think he homered. If I'm
okay, unless he's Aaron Judge.
Yeah, he did. He did homer. Yeah, him, Telez, and Colton Wong of homer.
I can know that I'm shocked about this price tag, but he was priced at 5,806K early in July. So, like, the people, I don't get it. Yes, 20 home runs, great, but he's got a 730 OPS and a 219 batting average. Not necessarily where I'm looking to spend it. I would take a shot at O'Neill Cruz off of a returning Freddie Peralta. If you're just looking for a guy that hits fastballs versus a guy that throws fastballs, like, that could be just a location matchup for him, right? Like a pitch matchup for him.
Yeah, it's not like Peralta was great either.
He just throws hard, and he gets a lot of swing and miss, but Yeah, we saw O'Neal Cruz. Who did he take deep the other day?
He took he hit a home run again today, too, by the way.
Yeah, he homered off of, like, a stud the other day, though. Oh, Alcantara. Yeah, he took Sandy into the river. Yeah, it's, the guy's one of the best pitchers in baseball. He had no 99-mile-an-hour fastball. He just launched. You know, that bat speed for Cruz is legit. Of course, Jose Iglesias at 37. That's pretty freebie. And then are we going with DeJong here again? Like,
we could. Could, know, yeah.
$3,200 if he's in the lineup?
Yeah, I like the value here. Iglesias, 37. Ha-Seong Kim with CJ Abrams traded. He went 4 for 5 in their first in the first game of the doubleheader today. He's going to be playing as long as Tatis isn't in the lineup. Even maybe when Tatis returns, they can move him all around the lineup in the infield and stuff. DeJong, yeah. Why not? If he's, look, you play him in a tournament only because he's only hitting home runs. But if he hits you a home run at 3,200, you're in a very good spot.
Yeah, it's clear that shortstop is where we're spending down.
Yeah, Dave, and you could you mentioned David Fletcher last position, but if you wanted to play him here, he's also shortstop eligible.
Yep. All right, outfield. Mookie Betts is your top price outfielder here against Alex Cobb at $6,200. You have Juan Soto potentially making his debut.
I don't know.
If he does make his debut, I'm all in. He feels like a guy that is a flair for that sort of dramatics, right? Like freedom, just get ready to rock at San Diego here.
Freedom from a $450 million contract offer.
Well, freedom from a loser.
I know.
Yeah, we had that conversation. Listen, he's getting his money. Just because he turned it down from Washington,
of course.
Another team is going to give him $450 million. And if he goes on and has like an MVP second half, he might get $500 million. Like, he might get more.
Yep.
The Yankees are going to be like, you know what? We could pay Aaron Judge, or we could just throw more money at a younger Juan Soto. And see what's going on there. Anyways, Soto's there. You get the Milwaukee guys. Yelich has been hitting the ball really well, just no home run power. Right. So you can kind of pick and choose if you want to spend that money on him. Renfro's been hitting home runs. Outfield is a pit, though. We've had some slates where outfield has been loaded with guys. This isn't one of those slates. This is a slate where there's the top couple guys, and then there's a bunch of guys that you normally maybe you'd play one of, but you wouldn't put multiple of them in your lineup.
I'll tell you who I'm going to play.
Is it Joey Gallo?
No, not Joey Gallo. Definitely not Joey Gallo.
No?
I'm going to definitely play Jurickson Profar.
Yes.
He had 5 hits today in their first game in the doubleheader. That's 4 straight multi-hit games. That's 5 multi-hit games in his last 6. That's 7 multi-hit games in his last 9.
We got to check in with Matt Sells, see if he's on the prospect report or not.
Yes, yeah, there's a profile. Yeah, former number 1 overall prospect, Jurickson Profar, see if he's back on the list.
That's an inside joke between all of us, sorry guys, for listening and not clowning you in, but
shout out to Tim Beckham. I think Profar is an elite play if you want to fade Mikolas Sayas in for tournaments too.
Sure. All right. Not many options for you here, but who is your home run call for the 5-game slate?
My home run call is not going to be Willie Adames if it's $600. I'm going to go Profar. I'm just going to keep going back to that, man. I know I should probably double down with Machado. He let me down and just say Machado until he hits a home run again. But I'm going to go Profar. Chad cools dust and lefties are really killing him right now. So I'll go Profar, top of the order home run.
I'm going to go O'Neal Cruz.
That's a good one. Cruz hitting. He's starting to heat up in the power department.
Yeah, that's where we're going to go. We're going to go O'Neal Cruz here against a returning Freddy Peralta. You have, what did you just say? Jurickson Profar, right? I wasn't listening to you at all. Jurickson Profar is James's pick. James is on the playbook. You'll get all of his takes here. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast that you're listening to. Castos now is where we're hosting our podcast, but where you can find this now everywhere, James, basically, right? Like iTunes, Spotify, where it's been, but there's Stitcher now. There's a whole bunch of different platforms. You can even listen to this on YouTube now if you want to as well. If you have these apps downloaded, like certainly go ahead. Download them, like, subscribe, do everything you can, help promote the podcast if you enjoy what you're listening to. And all of our podcasts this season will be hosted over there once we transition to football and the NBA and NHL and all the MLB podcasts are going to be over there. So make sure you check all of that out as well. But for now, James, and I'll catch you guys later.